Robin Black, how are you, sir?
Good, man. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. Pretty good. Yeah, thank you so much for taking some time here to jump on the Toddcast in Vancouver,
No problem.
You know, dude, I was thinking, when was the last time we spoke? It had to be when I was doing the afternoon show at CFOX, and you were intergalactic.
Wow, I know. Well, that's a whole lifetime ago. That's multiple lifetimes ago.
I mean, it's got to be at least 10, probably more like 12 years ago. And I do remember seeing you guys play a show in Vancouver, thinking it was only a matter of time before your band took off.
Yeah, it felt, I mean, it was an interesting time, like, to do it over again with things I understand and know now about hard work and growth and trying to improve and stuff. I would have done many things differently, but it sure as hell was fun, man.
Interesting. What would have you done differently, do you think?
Well, back then, like, I've always been this, like, super passionate, you know, driven, like excited person. Like, that's always who I am. And that's who I've been since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely who I was when I was sort of leading our band. But I think I saw that. I pictured that as being way more powerful than it is. And I think I thought that just by wanting something more than other people, or, like, you know, loving something more than other people, that somehow that meant more than it does. Well, now I see that as something that drives effort and drives learning and drives improvement and drives dedication to your craft and drives self-improvement and you know, and all those things. Now I see sort of passion, not as, like, we want it, we're gonna, like, I used to literally, you know, we would talk incessantly to anybody that would listen from the stage when people shoved the mic driving along in our van about how we were going to be the biggest band in the world.
Right.
But I didn't put in the effort, in retrospect, the effort that's necessary to do that. You don't accomplish these things by wanting it that much. You accomplish these things by wanting to get better every day. And that I learned through martial arts. That I learned sort of in the last couple of chapters of my life. And that's made all the difference. It really has.
Interesting. And we'll stick, we're obviously going to get into MMA, but
yep.
I want to stick with music for a sec.
For sure.
Which bands were your parents playing as you're a kid growing up? What are you being exposed to in the house?
You know, honestly, I think the reason I kind of took to my own thing so much was because I was exposed to very little. My parents each had, honestly, their record. Like, my dad's record was Willie Nelson,
okay,
and my mom's was Nana Muscuri. That was the record. They
wow.
each had one. And that's almost all they listened to. I remember very distinctly the moment I got an Alice Cooper comic book in, I don't know if it would have been like grade 3 or grade 4 or grade 5. It was definitely before I sort of, before moving out of, like, my, you know, my grade school kind of. I would say it would be around grade 3 or grade 4. Maybe even earlier, but it was the one where Alice Cooper is being dragged, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
On the cover of it. And I remember seeing that, and the visuals of it somehow grabbed me and directed me towards what I was going to be interested in musically. Like, you know, as soon as I heard guitars, that made sense. Actually, one of the very first things I did get into because of Neighbors was Johnny Cash.
Oh.
I used to act out Boy Named Sue with a neighbor. We would, like, act it out and put on shows for the parents when they were hanging around drinking martinis. And so I remember Johnny Cash, actually, which that sort of came as a kid. That I was exposed to as a kid. But most of the rest,
wow,
I started to punk rock and glam rock and stuff like that. I started to find myself kind of as a teenager, and maybe because there wasn't that much music in my house.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. And what was your first concert?
It was Alice Cooper, actually.
Wow.
And dude, my parents took me.
No kidding.
And, yeah. And I was, again, I'm thinking grade 5 or maybe younger, maybe grade 4. And in the way my mom tells the story now is that, you know, I didn't have a lot of interests, but I really liked this woman's music. So she wanted to take me to see her sing.
Right.
And she, like, they didn't know that, like, you know, they didn't have any idea that Alice Cooper was a band and a man.
Right.
So we went to the Winnipeg Arena.
Oh, that's cool.
And there was, like, leather outfits and like, women wearing, you know, next to nothing. All the things one would expect at an Alice Cooper concert, which was awesome.
It must have been a huge eye-opener for your parents.
For sure, for sure. And I was definitely one of the only sort of children there. And then they, you know, kind of kept checking in with me, like, you know, are you having the, what do you think of this? Like, are you doing all right? And I'm like, yeah, this is great. And you know, I guess they figured we'd watch a couple of songs. And they kept checking in still, like, you want to go? And I'm like, no, I want to stay. And then my mom, at least as she tells it now, then they brought up a happy meal and I was down to go. So, but I saw a few songs of Alice Cooper at the Winnipeg Arena. And then by about 13, 14, I started going in and seeing anything that was sort of the 80s glam rock, which was what I was sort of really exposed to and really into. Motley Crue and Whitesnake and all that kind of stuff. AC/DC, Poison, all that kind of stuff. I saw almost every concert that would come through Winnipeg.
Right, of course. And now, let's get to present day, being an MMA analyst and a commentator, two very different gigs. Do you like them just as much as each other?
I feel like everything that I've done all made sense to lead to what I do now. Mm. Because I think I view fighting, I think, quite differently than most, and most in my field, too. To me, it is 100% of fine arts. Like, I'm not a sports guy. I don't watch football or hockey. I don't know who won the Stanley Cup last year. Like, I don't, you know, I like physical things. I like training my body. I like powerlifting and doing yoga and doing martial arts, but I'm not into sport. And although fighting is presented and consumed as a sport, particularly in North America, to me, that's just the context in which I get to see this really fascinating fine art form of two unwilling dance partners, each kind of trying to paint their own picture, you know, or I'm mixing metaphors there, but you know, two artists, each trying to create the art that they want in conflict. And I've always seen it that way. And it's always been very, you know, I'll look at a particular, you know, fighter artist, and I'll think of the way that they developed, the way that a jazz player might have developed, or the way that they started to create their art, like a blues person, or certain fighters are very punk rock, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I do commentate, which I love, but that is sort of taking the information that you have about the art and using, you know, an open mind and a flow state, you know, train of thought to try to explain it to people. I don't tend to commentate, again, like a sports commentator. I tend to try to commentate like an art curator, you know, explain to you, not this kick, this punch, this is what, this, you know, like,
right.
I try to explain where the beauty is and how you can see it. So, and then editing and making videos where I analyze that is very much like making music videos. Like, all of the skills and all of the tools, live performance, voice, you know, editing, creating art, all of it connects. So I don't see them really as that different anymore. I just kind of picture myself as an artist who's obsessed with martial arts, and as weird as it sounds to go from a Alice Cooper loving makeup wearing glam rocker to a guy with Bruce Lee tattooed on his body who fought in a cage, to me it actually is one long, you know, path. Like, it is a connected, winding, you know, path. It's a fluid path to me.
Right. And dude, your MMA videos are awesome. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Your Twitter account is one of the best.
Well, thanks, man. That's another sort of thing that, you know, how ideas and information is shared, I see that as an art too, you know?
Oh, totally.
Like, understanding the art form and the medium and then figuring out how to use it creatively. I mean, Twitter and Instagram are not some weird social thing. They're just platforms. They're just creative platforms to put out art. And so I never looked at them as some tool to send people to my real art. That's where my art lives, a lot of it. So, but I love it. And it, you know, it's also a way to deal with the reality of the world that you live in. Like, the reality of the world that we live in, you know, people somewhere between 20 or 30 or 40% and 60% of their attention is there. You know, somewhere Netflix, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that's where humans are. That's where their mind is. So it only makes sense if you're making something creative for the purpose of making someone laugh or teaching them something or inspiring them or whatever, that you would put it there. Mm-hmm. So it all just sort of makes sense to me.
Robin, you hold a second degree black belt in Taekwondo. What stands out about your first MMA fight?
Oh, I think there was something so unbelievably pure about fighting. When I analyze these martial artists, some of them are sportsmen and some of them are artists and some of them are, they run plays. Some of them are scientists and some of them are problem solvers. And some of them are fighters. They're just born to fight people. I am definitely not one of those people. I'm a nerdy, problem-solving, martial arts obsessive. Fighting in a cage is not something that comes naturally to me. But once you're in there, and once it's happening, and you move towards the fear instead of away from it, if you can sort of pass those moments of panic, you've never been more alive and more singularly in the moment than when somebody is trying to knock you unconscious in your underpants in front of your mother on television.
Right.
Like, never. Because do you owe some tax money? Did you offend somebody? How's things going at work? You know, did you mow the lawn?
Right.
None of that shit exists at all in that moment. Nothing exists. And that purity of it, that to me was something very, very special. And that's why I did it 8 more times. And that's why I still wish I could do it. As much as it terrifies me still, I still wish I could do it every time I go to commentate, which is now 20 or 30 times a year, 20 or 30 weekends a year sometimes.
Right.
Every time I'm sitting next to a ring or a cage, you know, I'm wearing my suit and I'm excited to do the job that I've developed now and to show the skills that I do now in such a way to celebrate the artists in there and to, you know, enhance the experience for the viewers. Every time I do that, I'm really excited. I sit down, but then I start wishing that I had that moment ahead of me in the night. But there is a real true beauty in it. Like, and not most of us should never fight. We should find ways to avoid dangerous conflict. But you can get that feeling being lost in painting or music or jazz or playing piano or yoga or whatever. I mean, that sort of true presence can be achieved in other places. And that's what the rest of us, including myself now, you know, after enough head trauma and age, that's what we should be, where we should be searching for that pure flow state is in other types of performance and artistic endeavor.
Hmm. And when do you think parents should be getting kids into MMA?
Well, I think even MMA, I'm starting to wonder what it is. It feels like a temporary state of martial arts.
Mm.
This idea that these guys fighting shirtless in a cage was very representative of a particular era. But now when I think of the words MMA, I don't think of mixed martial arts, this fighting sport. I think of modern martial arts, which is where, you know, the game of being able to express your individuality through movement and fighting and physical expression, I think that part everybody should do. I think a little child, 3 years old, I think one of the greatest things that you can do for them is put them in gymnastics or wrestling or some type of martial art. And not because you want them to ever fight. They should probably never fight. Most of us should go through our life and never do that. But because they start to understand their connection to their body and how to express themselves physically, I think I think all children, I think if we have the chance to do it, we should let all children move their bodies that way. At the same time, I don't think we should let any children punch and kick each other in the head.
Probably not.
You know, I just don't think we should.
Oh, man.
But definitely, there's so much. Like, you know, anybody listening to the Toddcast or the kid, if you put them in martial arts, you can literally change their life. You can change the way they interface with the world. You can change the way they see themselves. You can change the way that they even just taking karate or taekwondo and progressing through a belt system of small accomplishments on the way to a larger goal. All of these discipline, all of these things. It's one of the greatest things you could ever do for a child.
Yeah,
and everything in my life, every bit of happiness I have in my life, I owe to my parents taking me to martial arts.
Really?
You know, three and four, everything.
That makes me feel good because I've got an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're both in Taekwondo.
Amazing. Well, you're doing something very special for them.
I mean, they love it.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good. I mean, you're changing their lives. Like, it frightens me. My wife is 17 years younger than me, so I have children ahead of me if we're lucky enough. And now, what I know about learning, and it's like everything you expose them to and offer to them, and they see and learn as a child can influence the way they see the world and the way that they see reality. So if you get the chance to do something at, you know, there's a lot of studies done on that type of gymnastics and martial arts, but also on learning piano. Whereas a child, if you can learn piano, you understand language and you understand creativity and you understand all of these things. But it, you know, at 10, learning jiu-jitsu is kind of a physical way to learn piano. So it really, I would hate to say that I'm going to force my kids to do anything, but it's certainly going to be highly recommended when I have kids.
Right.
That's for sure.
Right. Robin, you knew this question was coming. Who's the best pound for pound?
Martial artist that, in the world, man, that's really hard to say. I think there's so many factors, right? It's easy to say, you know, John Jones is an amazing this, and Anderson Silva was the greatest that, and these things are all true, but there's these factors of who they are and who they are mentally and physiologically and stuff. But I think the greatest martial artist living is Demetrius Johnson. I think the way, and he's probably one of the best coached, and he now competes in Asia for one championship. I'm going to do some work for them, so I'm excited to keep breaking down his work. But I think he's the best martial artist in the world. I do. And that means he's probably the best ever, because the best weightlifter and the strongest weightlifter in the world is the strongest ever, and the fastest sprinter in the world is the fastest ever, and the best, you know, the best... everything. Like, we are progressing as a species always, so, but as far as knowledge, there's so much more than fighting. There's the understanding the philosophy of how to live and how to make the world a better place and how to see life and choices and growth and all these things in martial arts itself. And so, on that level, I don't know. Like, as a sport, right now, Demetrius Johnson, John Jones, these are the best martial artists we've ever seen. But on the larger scale of martial arts representing something deeper, that has deeper meaning and deeper rewards, I don't know. I think the jury's still out on that one. But I sure as hell would like to move towards whoever that is and understand more and connect to it deeply and find ways to be able to explain these complicated concepts in incredibly simple ways that sound incredibly simple to people who don't have to study martial arts for a lifetime to get some benefit of it. That's a big part of what I'm trying to accomplish in the next couple of years.
Right on. Thank you again for doing this today, Robin. I told you it'd be about 20 minutes. Can I keep you around for another 5?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Let's get outside of fighting, outside of music, and of course what you're known for. What are you binge watching right now? What are the shows you just can't get enough of?
You know, honestly, I'm creating so much that I'm consuming very little. And the things that I'm consuming lately are in something that somehow is trying to make me better. So I'm
doing a deep dive into understanding attention and focus, and how we focus, you know, our brain and to get more out of moments. So I'm doing a lot of that. I binge watch my buddy Joe Rogan sometimes.
Yeah.
Because,
boy, he's good.
You know, he's brilliant, but also he's been incredibly good and incredibly generous to me. And so, we've become friends, and I learn a lot from him as a mentor. So I will, you know, spend an hour and a half or 2 hours, but I just don't, to me, you can create or you can consume. And I would rather spend most of my time creating. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
There's somebody on the street doing some, yelling.
Yeah, I heard that too. But
I
heard
society.
That. And yeah. I feel the exact same way. I mean, I'm the same thing. I mean, I do so much, so many interviews, and I put together so many podcasts, and, you know, I'm an instructor at BCIT in the radio program. So
amazing.
For me, it's all, you know, it's creating, and I find it hard to find the time to actually sit back and watch somebody else's work.
For sure. But I do understand the idea of it. If you are 80% creating, you know, around, you still have to have time to have the important relationships in your life and to learn things.
Yeah.
But when you shut off, I don't really drink alcohol or smoke marijuana or much, any of those things much at all anymore. Which is, of course, quite different from when you saw me back in the band day.
Right.
But without that, using sort of an artificial way to kind of ease the mind anymore, sometimes there's a real beauty in being able to consume somebody else's great work.
Sure.
You know, a beautiful movie or I loved The Star Is Born as a mainstream movie. I just fucking loved it. I loved the way that story was told. I loved the way that songwriter and singer became a character and an actor. I mean, it's hard to say because lately I've been so deep in either studying or creating or training martial arts that there hasn't been as much consumption. But the truth is, I should do more of that because I do want to still be connected to what other people are seeing and experiencing because we do have a shared experience, all of us, you know? So.
Well, that's a great way to get inspired, Bink.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Well, you just brought up marijuana. What's your take on legalized marijuana?
I think it's really good. I do. I travel a lot. I've never been much of a marijuana smoker. I mean, a little here and there over the years, and playing in a rock band was a little more, but it seems to me it has great benefit for harm reduction for people, where in North America they prescribe so much opiates and painkillers to people. You've seen a lot. Anywhere where marijuana is legalized, you see a downturn in opiate addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a lot of power that way. I think you don't see a lot of people beating their partners and starting fights when they consume marijuana instead of alcohol. I think it can, for some people, enhance creativity. So I think, as far as, I'm proud of our country. I'm proud of Canada for doing that. It's the correct thing to do, I think. I think there's very little harm. There's a lot of benefit. And it's certainly, most of the world, or much of the world, alcohol is legal. It's certainly less dangerous, damaging than that.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Bahrain, and even alcohol is illegal there. That was quite interesting. I was at the airport with a Irish guy, a buddy of mine, a fighter that does some commentary, and he couldn't believe they didn't have beer at the airport. And on some level, I mean, hey, I used intoxicants through much of my life, and I certainly may again one day, but by taking away that chemical crutch and then finding ways through connecting to your body, exercise, meditation, mindfulness, I found great benefit by rarely to never using intoxicants myself lately. But like I said, I think as a Canadian, I think I'm proud that Canada made what seems to be a pretty logical, correct choice. A lot of places I travel, places in Asia and stuff, they view marijuana as a very dangerous drug, and I think they've got the wrong information based on places like Canada and many of the places in the States and some places in Europe where you can study it and see that it is of great benefit to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And very little harm.
Right. Do you believe that aliens have visited Earth?
I haven't been asked that before. And I don't know that I've given it a lot of thought. but I certainly don't think it's impossible. In fact, I don't know if I believe that aliens have visited Earth, but I don't believe they have not. But I right. do believe I would be, it seems to me completely absurd that there isn't life on all of these worlds, this infinite amount of worlds. It seems completely illogical. It seems very human to try to make ourselves seem important, like we might be the only ones. And the chance of that seems absurd. And if there is life, and I believe there's probably lots of it, then looking at the little drip of time that we've existed, there must have been many cultures and civilizations that would have existed in longer periods than us. So, I mean, I certainly think there is a lot of alien life all over the world. Whether or not they've been here, I mean, probably, right? Like,
probably.
We've lived such a short little dot of time.
Yeah.
Although, at the same time, my instinct is, yeah, probably, because in the long context of time, but that long context of time in a different context may be a very short context of time. Also, if this planet isn't extra special, and it's very human and very arrogant for us to think it is, and we are, but if it isn't, then why the fuck would anyone bother coming here at the same time, right? You know, so yeah. I don't know, but I really appreciate the question. That's the type of thinking when you start walking and talking with a friend where some really creative ideas and thoughts and contextualizing of the world that we live in happens, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. You'd brought up the Alice Cooper comic book. Were you a big comic book fan as a kid?
Yeah.
And if you could have a superpower then, which power would you want to have?
I think the most natural superpower feels like flight. I mean, just don't you feel something about that? You know, we come from living things in the ocean, in water, and then we go to land. I mean, inevitably we would want to fly. But sometimes it would be as simple as, wouldn't it be nice if you could just fucking make people around you happy? Oh, like, I try to do that as best I can, you know, as often as I can, which isn't all the time and isn't all that well compared to what I would like to. But wouldn't that be wicked? Like, if you could just fucking cheer
That'd
some
be
people
amazing.
Up. Yeah, and then they would cheer people up because that's how the world works. You know, they as they interacted with people, they would make other people happy. You know, but I do think that we all have that power anyways. I really do. I mean, shit, when your Uber driver is nice to you and you get out and you're smiling, aren't you nice to the next person, which probably makes them nice to the next person? I mean, this, we do have that power.
I like that.
You know? Yeah.
Robin, dude, thank you again for jumping on. I'll let you go here. I know that you probably got stuff to do. You are at Robin Black MMA on Twitter. Are you the same thing on Instagram and Facebook and all that?
Yeah, Twitter and Instagram. I got kicked off Facebook because I used UFC footage without permission.
Right.
So I got kicked off Facebook. My mom's really mad.
Right.
But I am at Robin Black MMA on Twitter and Instagram. I'm YouTube.com/Robin Black, and then my podcast Enjoy the Hostilities is everywhere you can find podcasts.
Right.
Also, if you want a t-shirt that says Bink on it, you got to shop robinblack.com.
Awesome, Robin, we'll see you online.